The Walker brothers. They weren't British. They weren't even brothers. And they weren't really called Walker, but they were absolutely massive. Now, it is my pleasure to welcome to my legend spot the one and only John Walker. Good evening.
Hi, Opal. How are you doing?
I'm very good. Welcome to Big L Radio.
Thank you.
Well, we've had lots of response, as ever. I've had your fans and listeners emailing in questions for you, but can I just say a big thank you for taking the time out to talk to me tonight. Can I ask whereabouts you are?
Right now I'm in California, just outside of Los Angeles.
Oh, lovely stuff. It's got to be a lot better than the London rain that we're experiencing here. Never mind.
Oh, you're having rain, we're having overcast.
Oh, that's outrageous. We're having a thunderstorm, but I'm battling on. I'm not letting the elements put me off at all. Can I ask, what are you up to at the moment?
Right now I'm just finishing up. I've been working on a CD for the last year, and I'm finishing it up. I'm doing the mastering and things on it right now.
Oh, fantastic. So when can we expect to have that out in the shops?
Towards the end of the year.
Excellent stuff. Well, that was a big question that a lot of listeners did want to know. You know, when can they get something else of yours? Well, seeing as we do have a lot of questions, let me go straight into it. Now, obviously, you're a very musical guy. I've been reading up a lot about you this week. And you first got into playing musical instruments when your leg was in plaster. But what did you learn?
You mean like the first instrument?
Yeah.
Actually, I used to play, believe it or not, clarinet.
No, that's not very rock and roll.
No, so we didn't stay with the clarinet long.
What did we move on to?
Well, then we moved on to steel guitar, which was like, you know, sort of country steel guitar, those pedal steels.
Oh, that's cool.
And then we didn't like that either.
Oh, not cool.
And then finally, in the end, I got a hold of just a regular six-string guitar. And that was it. The love affair began.
Now, this is the thing. You were quite a promising sports boy, weren't you? What do you think would have happened if you hadn't had that injury and your leg wasn't in plaster?
I would be a retired baseball player.
Really? You would have been a pro?
Yeah.
I could have been interviewing you as, you know, the legend sportsman instead.
That's true.
We'll never know, I guess.
No.
Now, you also sang with your sister. And your mum wrote some of the songs. Tell me about that. How did she get involved?
In actual fact, my mother didn't really write the songs.
Oh.
In those days, when you always had to, everything that you did, you know, nobody really knew a lot about the business. And the thing was, is you knew that, you know, if you signed with a record company, 9 times out of 10, you signed away all your writing and all your publishing and everything else. And, you know, you never knew what you were doing. So by not having your name on the song, you had a little more protection, as it were. So we used to use Mum's name.
Oh, that's so clever of you. You obviously had a good business brain early on.
Well, not really. It just, you know, everybody, the record industry was kind of in its infancy in those days, and nobody knew what was right or what was wrong, so you kind of did whatever you thought was right.
I see. So then you went on with your band, you know, to play Sunset Strip and all those kind of places. This is the biggest question coming in. Why did you choose the name Walker Brothers?
Because the whole thing was, my last name is Moss.
Yes.
And it's spelled M-A-U-S. I went through school being called Pete Moss or something Mouse.
People,
or everything you can think of, except, you know, and every teacher mispronounced my name, and, you know, I lived with it for long enough to where I said, I'm changing my last name.
Children can be so cruel.
Oh, yeah, well the teachers weren't much better either. So, I mean, you know, I had a German-English teacher. I know that sounds strange,
wow.
But it's true. And his name was Richter, and my name was Moss, and he pronounced it Mouse, and there was no way he was changing that ever.
Oh.
So, you know, but anyway, so I changed my last name to Walker. I started using the name Walker when I was about 17 or 18.
I see.
And the name kind of stuck. And we were actually, when Scott and Tiny and myself were playing at Gazzari's, we were called the Walker Brothers Trio because it was cool to be a trio. And so we had to put the name in there. And the Ingle Brothers Trio didn't sound very good.
It's not sexy.
And of course, the Tiny Brothers Trio wasn't going to work either.
Oh, no. I don't want to see boys like that.
No, so we you know, we settled on the Walker Brothers Trio, which the record company, when we signed with Mercury, then just shortened to the Walker Brothers.
I see. There you go. Well, that clears it up. So many people wanted to know the answer to that one. So there you go. You've put that to rest. Now, you were convinced to come to the UK, but what were you expecting?
Well, not a lot, if you want to. It was Gary's idea. See, now that this one we can blame Gary for, because he came into Gazzari's. When we were playing Gazzari's, we were just like an out-and-out outrageous rock and roll rhythm and blues band. That's what we did for a living, because that's what Hollywood demanded, and we wanted to make some money, so that's what we played. And Gary came in, and he saw us, and he said, you guys should go to England, because, you know, you're Americans doing like all this, like, basically beat music and things like that. And he'd been to England with PJ Proby.
Yeah.
And he said, it's happening, man. It's the greatest place in the world. And Scott and I had already kind of figured, we were already sort of like working on Gazzari to kind of let him know that we were going to take a month off and go to England anyway.
Mm.
But the thing was, I mean, just to go, you know, for a vacation, basically.
Oh,
but then Gary said, let's go over and do, you know, we can do this and do that. And so anyway, we did it. And but if you want to know the truth, nobody really expected anything to happen. It was just like, well, we'll just go.
God, and it happened big time.
Yeah, it did.
Wow, it was incredible.
Scared me to death.
Really? Come on. You're a big boy. Surely you could go.
I wasn't then.
Oh, well, this is the thing. I mean, you were so massive in the UK. You had all those top tunes, you know, Make It Easy on Yourself, Sun Ain't Gonna Shine Anymore. What was it? What did it feel like? What is it like to be number one in the charts?
It's kind of like wonderful. It really is. It's almost like, you know, it's like you work very hard to do whatever it is. I mean, everybody does this in their everyday life. You work very hard to do what you do well.
Yeah.
The difference with something like having a hit record is you don't have one boss.
Right.
You have lots of people who decide whether or not you're good, bad, or indifferent.
Mm.
And when the majority of the people decide that they like what you're doing and they put their hand in their pocket and they buy it, that is an amazing, it's just such an unbelievable compliment.
Yeah, I imagine. I imagine.
And,
so.
You know, you suddenly think to yourself, man, this is amazing. And it is. To me, it always amazed me. And I still, when I look back on it, I still kind of think,
wow.
It's almost like I can't believe it happened.
Well, it honestly did. I promise you it happened.
I know it did, but I mean, you know, it's almost like a dream thing. You know, it's amazing.
Well, I want to talk about, you know, you are obviously massive. The girls loved the way you looked. Everyone loved your music. Talk to me about the groupies. That's what I want to know about.
Well, I don't know if you can call them groupies. Groupies, I suppose they're groupies, and I guess there's fans. I mean, I don't know. There are
enthusiastic fans.
Very enthusiastic, very inventive fans too.
Oh,
they can
really?
Invent all kinds of ways of getting to where you were.
Oh, tell me.
Fire escapes at the back of the hotels. That was a good one.
Ah.
And, I mean, it was amazing. You know, we had very good people working with us, our security people and our road managers and our personal people that we had around us, who used to always go into, like, dressing rooms and ferret out everybody who shouldn't be there before we went in. And same thing with the hotels. You know, they'd always manage to make sure that the area was, shall we say, secured.
Yeah. Really?
Before we got there.
Honestly, they will take it to another level if they think they can, you know, get a piece of you. Tell me something. Is it true that you were so fed up of the fans ripping your clothes off that you used to wear crash helmets?
Well, it wasn't the ripping off the clothes stuff, because, I mean, they were going to do that anyway. But it was the crash helmets actually came about. We were playing at some place, I think it was Sheffield. I've got Sheffield in my head for some reason. I always think it was Sheffield. And we had to go into this hotel, and we couldn't get the car. Usually what we'd do is we would, you know, find a way to get into a hotel without a great deal of problems. But this was, like, right in the middle, I think. We were, like, at our height of our popularity, and there was just, like, people, the theater was very close to the hotel, which is a big mistake.
Mm.
And anyway, what happened, long story short, is we were trying to get from the car to this hotel. And anyway, I guess one of the fans grabbed a hold of my hair, because my hair was shoulder length in those days.
Yes, pretty.
And she got a hold of my hair, and Gary was right behind me. And he managed to I don't know, he'd do something to get her to let go of my hair. But when she let go of my hair, I was at the top of these stairs, and of course I was going forward. And
wow.
As fast as I could. I looked down, and it was all over.
Oh.
So I went down this flight of stairs, and I landed at the bottom of the stairs and cracked my head open on the door jamb.
That's so horrible.
And I spent a couple of days in the hospital.
No way.
So then they decided the best thing to do was we should get crash helmets because if worst came to worst, nobody could grab your hair. And two, if you did fall on your head, you weren't going to do what I just did.
And three, if they were too enthusiastic, you could headbutt them. Well, it's an option. It's an option. Maybe not these days. I don't think.
But I mean, you know, it was just insanity. And you, the trouble was, you know, it was always funny. We always have this very funny story. Whenever we get to a place, if any of the people that were in charge of security said, "We've had them all here. We've had the Beatles and the Rolling Stones," we knew we were dead.
Oh, why?
Because inevitably, they thought that that was the worst possible thing that could happen.
Oh,
and it wasn't.
No.
It
I mean,
just
you,
wasn't.
The Walker Brothers had a bigger fan group than the Beatles.
Well, I don't know if that's true. It was at least as big, I know that.
Wow. Well, you toured with some amazing people. I want to know about Cat Stevens and Jimi Hendrix.
Well, Cat Stevens was kind of an interesting case because he was always like, you know, he was, Cat was kind of like a very introverted kind of, and was always doing the sort of genius songwriter bit, which is, you know, was kind of odd, but there you were. He was like just a bit different. Jimi Hendrix was probably one of the greatest people I've ever worked with in my life. I loved Hendrix.
Really? Why?
See, he's an old blues guitar player, and so am I. Mm. You know, no matter whatever happens to you, if you've ever been a blues guitar player, you're going to die a blues guitar player. Mm. And so when we were on that tour, it was really kind of cool because Gary had seen Jimmy play someplace, and we were getting ready to put this tour on, which was basically we were our management company and ourselves were promoting that tour. And it was like, okay, what are we going to have on it? And so we got Cat Stevens, and it was like everybody was trying to figure out what the package would be. And Lee said, we got to go talk to this guy Jimi Hendrix because I mean he'll kill everybody because he's just outrageous. And so we talked to him, and he said he'd like to do it. But the cool thing for me was personally was we would get to the theaters early, and Jimmy and I sit down and play in the afternoon.
Right, and it,
and it was just
jam.
Like, you know, just jam. You know, Gary would be wandering around the stage and play drums, and somebody come out and play bass.
That would be so cool to get a bootleg of that now.
It was extremely cool.
Oh, man. Imagine how much a bootleg of that would go for on eBay.
Oh, my God.
I would pay a lot of money. I would. Well, can I? I've asked the fans to get questions in. Can I put some of those questions to you now, sir?
Sure.
Thank you. Let's have a look. Sue Hadley, listening on the internet, she says, please, can you ask Mr. Walker if he has any definite plans for the UK? It's been such a long time since the Solid Silver Tour in 2004, and there are many fans who want to know when he'll be touring again.
So would I. No. My manager, David Audie's working on putting together something hopefully for the end of this year. That's what we're looking at.
Oh, brilliant.
You know, it's kind of hard. You know, it's not as easy as it appears. Just, you know, you can't just sort of go out and decide to play. There's all this planning that has to be done, and promoters to be spoken to, and agents involved, and
all the nonsense
involved
that you have to do. But we would love you to come over.
So would I.
Well, we'll see if we can work some magic and pull some strings to get you over here.
Yeah.
Make everyone happy. Let's have a look. We've got Mi Amigo. I don't know where Mi Amigo is, but he says, do you have any memories of events connected with Radio London? You know, the pirate ships? That's where we started.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, Radio London was probably extremely responsible for us being successful in England in the first place, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, Radio London was the first radio station to ever play Walker Brothers.
I think you're absolutely right, and we're going to have that on the sound clip now that you said that. I shall play that every show that we were responsible.
Yes. Absolutely, I remember that.
Well, let's have a look. What else does he say? He says, when you recorded your version of Living Above Your Head, who made the decision to drop the first word off the verse baby?
I think it didn't sing well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we used to do this thing, you know, if we when we were working on a song, if there was some part of it that didn't sing well, we would either, you know, I'm afraid it's artistic license. If it feels uncomfortable when you're singing it, it's going to sound uncomfortable when you're listening to it.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
So we just, you know, didn't sing it.
That's fair enough. Make it, you know, putting your own stamp on it. John Barry says, I always find the song No Regrets very emotional and beautiful. Has the song got a personal significance?
Not really. Just one of those songs that's just a great song.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, there was nothing personal in No Regrets. It was just, the thing with that song that's so incredible is, I mean, you know, in those days to record a song that was so long, you know, as in like airtime long, was a bit risky. But, you know, the song is such a complete song, you have to do it the way it is, and that's what we did.
Exactly, and for him to think that is obviously a testament to the way that you performed it, that, you know, people believe that you are all doing it from the heart. Let's have a look. We've got Jocelyn, who says, would John consider his loss of privacy too high a price to pay for his success?
Well, that's an interesting question, in that if I wanted privacy, then I really would have no business doing something that's public. So, I mean, if I wanted to be a private person, then why would I be in the music business, or why would I make records, and why would I do concerts?
You should just be a geography teacher.
Yeah.
If that's what you want.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if it's that important to you, then do something that's private. You know, be a librarian.
That's fair enough. Yeah. And I've got this question. It came in a few times from a few different people. They say, does John consider himself American or British? But I think the answer's American, surely.
No.
Really?
I'm stuck in the middle. It's really very strange. To start off with, if you start thinking about from when you're born till you're 20 years old, you don't really get any brains till you're about 15.
That's true enough, especially for boys.
Well, okay. And I'm afraid I think I fall into that category. I might have had brains at 14. But anyway, so most of the like very important years in my life, I spent probably 6 of them in America and 30 of them in Britain.
Ah.
See? So it's a very strange thing, but I'm more at home in London than I am in Los Angeles.
Well, you should come back over here.
I feel much more comfortable. Every trip I come over there, it's the same thing. I get off the plane and I have this big sigh of relief.
Oh. Well, come on.
It's terrible, I'm telling you.
Well, you and your wife can come and stay in my flat if you like.
The
offer
Thank you
is
much.
There. We'd love you to come back over and sort out a tour. Now, I've got a couple more questions before I have to wrap this up, I'm afraid. They're giving me the signal, but I'm also giving them, you know, a couple of fingers back. It's my show, come on. I just want to know, what kind of music are you into?
You know what? I'm still, a lot of the stuff, particularly the stuff I write, is reasonably romantic. I'm afraid I'm one of those hopeless romantic type people. I'm always going to write about love of some form, one form or the other, the kind you should have, the kind you shouldn't have, and the kind you really want, you know. And my new CD is full of some very, I think, really, really very, very beautiful love songs. And it's got some stuff that you can get up and
boogie.
Shake your thing too, you know.
You obviously know me well then.
well.
When you come over, I can show you. So
okay.
As soon as that's out, we will be plugging that here. Now, let's just get this right. You've got the box set on its way out.
Yes.
Also, a DVD project happening. Is that true?
Yeah, well, the DVD, that's my... my son's working on that. That's a DVD of me.
Oh, okay. And when will that be?
There's the best of Scott Walker and the Walker Brothers out,
yeah,
which is out right now. And then there's a box set coming out in July.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of it for the Walker Brothers for the moment.
Okay. And if they want any other info on you, what's your website address, just so all the fans can go there?
It's www.john-walker.com.
Dot org. Excellent plug, sir. So if you missed that, we're going to put it on our website as well, so you can check out everything that John's up to. So you've got all of that coming up. What else would you like to do in the following year?
Well, basically speaking, what I want to do is I want to get my CD finished. I want to come over and do some more concerts in the UK, because I miss it.
We love you.
And I miss seeing all my friends.
Ah.
You know, and that was one thing I was going to tell you that was really fantastic about the 2004 tour. I actually got to see people that I couldn't see in the 60s, and they could, you know, we couldn't talk to each other. And it was a very, very nice thing.
And all boys together, of course, as well.
Oh, it was great fun.
Well, before you go, and can I just say it's been an absolute pleasure, and I'm sure all the fans are very satisfied to find out what you are up to and what's coming up. I've got Fastest Finger, and we've got over 8,000 songs here. I let every guest choose a song that they'd like to hear. So what would you like to hear? What can I play for you?
Let me see.
I can type incredibly fast, John.
How about Georgia by Ray Charles?
Oh, good choice. Let me find it. Oh, is it here? They've spelt it Georgina. Surely they are wrong. Let's play it. Is this the one that you want?
That would be the one.
Oh, fabulous. John Walker, you are a complete legend. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
My pleasure, Opal, and you take care of yourself.
I will, and if he ever comes over, I will grab him and make him come in here.
Georgia.